Far away the noise of strife upon my ear is falling. Then I know the sins of earth beset on every hand. Doubt and fear and things of earth in vain to me are calling. None of these shall move me from Beulah land, for I'm living on the mountain underneath a cloudless sky. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh, yes.
Sadly, Sam and I never got round to recording the whole of C. Austin Miles' wonderful gospel hymn, Dwelling in Beulah Land. You'll sometimes hear me say that I don't think the modern songs, which are sometimes called happy clappy, are really happy enough. Beulah Land certainly is. If you want to hear the version of it that I first fell in love with, search Beulah Land in YouTube with the band name Swan Arcade, and you'll hear the uncompromising folk tones of the late lamented Dave Brady. I never heard Dave live and never met him, but he was, I believe, a Methodist lay preacher as well as a folk singer, and a number of great nonconformist tunes found their way into Swan Arcade's repertoire through his influence. It was through their music, too, that I first met Ira D. Sankey's great hymn, Only Remembered, which by that folky route was included in the smash hit musical Warhorse. Beulah is mentioned in our Old Testament reading today. Beulah means married, and marriage forms the theme of today's address. But as I say, Sam and I never got round to recording Beulah Land, so we start instead with a Welsh hymn which has similar hoel. Dyma gariad fel y moroedd.
Thank you.
We begin our time of penitence today with the Lord's promise from today's Old Testament reading in Isaiah. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory. And you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Lord God, we have sinned against you and done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, the collect for the second Sunday of Epiphany. Almighty God, whose Son revealed in signs and miracles the wonder of your saving presence, renew your people with your heavenly grace. And in all our weakness, sustain us by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. Today's Old Testament reading, as we've already mentioned, is from Isaiah chapter 62, verses 1 to 5. It's another of those passages from exile in which the prophet prophesies the restoration of Jerusalem. The Lord says this, "For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until her vindication shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory. And you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate. But you shall be called, My delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your builder marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is from John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. There was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding, and when the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine, he did not know where it had come from, although the servants who had drawn the water knew. The steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine, after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the word of the Lord.
with all my vision, O Lord of my heart. Be all else but not to me, save that thou art either my best thought in the day and the night, both waking and sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, be thou my true word, be thou ever with me, and I with thee, Lord. Be thou my great Father, and I thy true Son. Be thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Be thou my battle shield, sword for the fight. Be thou my dignity, thou my delight. Be thou my soul's shelter, be thou my strong tower. Raise thou me heavenward, great power of my power. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Be thou mine inheritance now and always. Be thou and thou only the first in my heart. King of heaven, my treasure art. High King of heaven, when victory is won, or may I reach heaven's joys, or bright heaven's sun. Great heart of my own heart, whatever befall, my vision, O ruler of all.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, special greetings today, especially to all our listeners in Beulah. Our Old Testament reading says, "You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, My delight is in her, and your land married." Look at the footnotes, and you'll see that the word translated married is the Hebrew word Beulah, a name which has been given to a number of places in the world, including two here in Wales, one near Llanwrtyd Wells in Powys, and the one with which we are familiar, on the road from Aberporth to Newcastle Emlyn. Doubtless not many residents of either village know that they are living in married. I wonder what they would make of it if they did. A feminist friend in a group I'm in suggested to us that marriage will quite soon be done away with altogether, that it can't survive, because it's been exposed as a form of masculine oppression of women in a patriarchal society. More generally, we certainly seem to be in a rather strange state of mind about marriage. I probably see more weddings than the average person, as you would expect, and I see at first hand that strange phenomenon that weddings seem to be becoming more and more elaborate and indeed expensive at a time when, as exemplified by my feminist friend, we clearly hold a lower view of the importance, even indeed of the value or merit, of the married state. We probably wouldn't call a village married now. Biblically, there's not much doubt that Christians are still committed to the view that marriage is a good and joyful thing, but a Christian feminist reading of Isaiah 62 might still suggest that for women, marriage can only be considered a good thing insofar as it offers some protection against other, even worse, forms of male domination and oppression to which women might be subjected in a patriarchal society. So I wonder what we think about marriage now. The recently demoted Foreign Secretary, Dominic Raab, the recently, and may I say deservedly, demoted Foreign Secretary, when he was running for the leadership of the Conservative Party, was asked at a Hustings meeting whether he was a feminist. And he couldn't give a coherent answer, as though he hadn't really thought about it. It was an extraordinary position for a 21st century politician to put himself in, though not the only time when one has wondered whether Mr. Raab lives on the planet which the rest of us inhabit. Feminism has been the most influential and successful cultural movement of my adult lifetime. Every thinking politician, one would have thought indeed, every thinking person who grew up in the second half of the 20th century must surely have done some thinking about their reactions to its insights and challenges. And the opposition of feminism, or at least of some kinds of feminism, to the idea of marriage is one such challenge. Perhaps surprisingly then, however much feminists may despise or criticise it, there's not much doubt that marriage is still more popular with women than it is with men. One of the things that makes me smile is how much my female church wardens, and even one or two female church organists, want to be at wedding rehearsals. I'm not ungrateful for this. It saves me trying to remember where I've left the keys for the different churches and so on. But I've never asked them or required them to come. And the idea of actually wanting to be at a wedding rehearsal, when you could be sat at home with a nice cup of tea, is one I can't really get my head round. But my female church wardens unanimously want to be there. And over a career of 40 years, I can't remember a single instance of a male church warden who did. Unlike Mr. Raab, apparently, I know that I'm not a feminist. Or at least, I know that I don't agree with the Marxist-inspired reading of history as a struggle between the genders in which men have always and consistently been the dominant and oppressive force. I thought I might say a little about how one might try to take feminist insights seriously within a Christian view of marriage. It was Robert Louis Stevenson who said, "Marriage is like life. It is a field of battle, not a bed of roses." Across the world, most of us spend our adult lives in an exclusive relationship with one person of the opposite sex. And most of us know that that relationship is not perfect. A marriage in which there is no conflict or tension would be extremely unusual, perhaps even unhealthy. And in a normal heterosexual marriage, the gender difference, and what still appears to be the innate tendency of men and women to have different priorities in life, is part of the ongoing conflict. So the feminist idea of a conflict or struggle between the sexes is a perfectly identifiable part of married life for all of us. But a balanced account of marriage would surely have to say two other things. First, that one knows many marriages where it is very far from clear that power within that struggle is exercised exclusively by the man. And secondly, that in a successful marriage, there is both a proper conflict between the parties, but also a proper harmony, and that the conflict and the harmony set reciprocal limits on each other. In classical terms, this might be called the struggle between Mars, the god of war, and Venus, the god of love. In feminist terms, it might be expressed in the adage, men can't live with them, can't live without them. But men might say just the same about women. There's nothing unchristian in believing that marriage is a battlefield. But as Christians, we also believe that marriage is, or should be, a battlefield and a bed of roses. At the end of our struggles and battles and disagreements, our partner is the person we want to be with, the person with whom we find our peace and rest, and in the best times, our joy. Almost any description of this ends up sounding hopelessly sentimental, but the bed of roses is hard won, and usually still not without a few thorns here and there. And this is the life that pretty much all of us recognise, because it's the life that pretty much all of us live. The symbol of our Christian faith is the cross of Christ. It's a symbol which should teach us that every kind of love is costly, and every kind of love is a struggle. Love, any kind of love, is always costly, because it always involves giving away something of your own interest, putting the wishes and welfare of another person before your own. Sometimes we can do it gladly, sometimes it comes harder. But fundamentally, if we call ourselves Christians, love is the thing we believe in above all. We believe that we were made by the love of God, for the love of God, and that every kind of human love is the fruit of the love of our Father. We believe in marriage because we believe in love. And, Pacey, my feminist friend, as long as women and men love each other, and as long as they want children as the fruit of that love, then, by whatever name it might be called, an institution that looks something like marriage, with all its struggles and all its joys, will continue to endure. Amen.
Yeah.
Now it's time for our prayers. Our intercessions today will be led by Helen, but we begin, as usual, with the Lord's Prayer. En tad rhanoite na nefoedd sancteddi da enw, dyled y dernas gwnele dy wychlis, megis yn yne fechli ar y ddear hybyd. Dydon ni heddiw ein bara beinyddiol, y maddau i ni ein dyledion, fel y maddau ni na ein dyledwyr, ac nac ar roi ni brofedigaeth, eitha gwared ni rhag drwg, canis eitha ti o'r dernas, a'r gallu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oes oedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen.
Gracious God, your Son Jesus began his ministry at a wedding celebration, and through the miracle of the wine showed us the abundance of your wonderful love for us. May Jesus continue to transform the water of our everyday lives into the new wine of your kingdom on earth, transforming by his love the ordinary into the extraordinary. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the governments of the world as they try to find a way out from the COVID restrictions and help us to return to some sort of normality. Give them wisdom, Lord, to know what it is that you would have them do. Help them to see and meet the needs of this community where you have placed them. Give them vision, Lord, to provide what is needed, so that what we do will be fruitful and bring glory to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Cofion yn arbennig yn ein gweddiau yr eglwys ym mhob cwr o'r byd, gan gynnwys eglwysi a phobl yr esgobaeth hon a'n hardal weinidogaeth leol. Gweddion dros Matthew, Judith, John, yr esgob Joanna a'r chdeaconau Lun. A diolchwn am y pwyntiad ein harch esgob newydd, y parchedig Andy John. Arglwydd yn dy drigaredd, gwrando ein gweddi. Father God, we pray for our world and the problems faced by so many of your children. We pray for all who live under the threat of war and terrorism and the poverty which comes in its wake. Heavenly Father, we also bring before you those people who have been unable to travel to see family and loved ones for such a long time. So many moments have been missed, and we know that that brings hurt, anger, upset, and grief. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, we pray for those we know who will be married during the coming year. Be with them as they make their plans, and give them patience and understanding when things are difficult. In their growing love for each other, may they come to know you as the source of all love and help them to rejoice in their shared memories of joy and laughter, sadness and disappointment. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Healing God, we bring before you all that are sick and suffering. We pray especially for all those who are struggling due to the ongoing pandemic. Give wisdom to those in power to make decisions that will be for good for all, and help your people discern how best to keep each other safe. We pray for those who are waiting for hospital treatment or for the results of tests. Give them peace in the midst of the storm. And Lord, we bring before you all those known personally to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Dad, gweddion dros bawb sy'n wael ac yn agos at angau, a chan gofio'r sawl fi farw, a'r rhai sy'n ei caru ac yn gylaru ar ei holau. Arglwydd, yn dy drwygaredd, gwrando ein gweddi. Faithful God, as we go out into the world, we pray that we may reflect your love in our families, our church, and our community, so that the world can witness that we are followers of Christ and draw others into his loving care. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Oh.
And finally, the blessing for this season of Epiphany. May you be filled with the wonder of Mary, the obedience of Joseph, the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the determination of the Magi, and the peace of the Christ child. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, now and always. Amen.